peace and blessings. Welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. It's one of those episodes where I'm just going to pour out from my heart. News story got my attention. And in a way, I'm not surprised, but I'm so hurt and devastated about this situation, this incident. And it's happening all over America. It's happening all over the world. And it's about ministers. It's about these people who say that they are called to lead places of worship. And over and over and over again, they get into trouble. And they create trouble and problems. Now, I have to say this because I'm going to bring up this pastor's wife who, I guess she was trying to, when her husband was confronted by a woman who claimed to be carrying his child. And this is from about East St. Peter Missionary Baptist Church, which is in some town in Mississippi. The pastor's name is Ricky Scott. His wife is Sharon Scott. And the woman who disrupted a service was Miss Beavers, who claimed that, well, she's pregnant. She was pregnant on the video that I saw. And she is claiming that that is the married pastor's child. She apparently tried to attack Miss Scott, the pastor's wife, on more than one occasion. And according to some podcasters, the pastor has been involved in some other affairs. Now, what's interesting is the first thing that I thought of, believe it or not, when I thought of this particular case, I thought of a case. There were two cases out of Atlanta. This has been a while, but one of the cases was the same situation. A pastor was having sexual relationships with multiple people in the church, and this pastor gave the members HIV and AIDS. And this has happened like numerous times. Like, there have been some stories that have made the headlines of the same thing. Pastor is supposed to be teaching the Word of God, and yet they are having sex with multiple people. And so this is not anything new. What's interesting, though, is the pastor wanted to, I guess, keep his position instead of just saying, hey, you know what? I've fallen short. Let me just step down. Let me, you know, have a moment, do something else, maybe establish something somewhere else. Where, you know, once he has consecrated himself, or maybe just give it up altogether. I don't know. But I want to talk about it because since I started this podcast 2 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, I've talked about bad religion and good religion. The first thing that I want to tell people, this will save your life and it just saved mine, is that you have to change your expectations of people who are spiritual leaders. They're not perfect. They will fall. Just as the wife said, all people fall short. But there are, and when they do fall, here's the thing. I think you should remove yourself. If you fall in that way, I believe if you are a person in ministry and you have a problem with having sex with multiple people, especially in your church, I personally, and I just, you know, I don't think God would want you to be in a position of spiritual leadership. And I'm not saying you can't be forgiven and you can't try to reconcile with different people that you've hurt, but I really wonder if you should be in that position if this is a problem. Yes, people do fall. They fall in many different ways. Y'all, excuse me. It is cold in here, honey. It's cold in this house, even though we got on the heat. It's below freezing, you guys, here in Georgia, but just want to say that. But this is what I want to say to people. I believe that my teacher is the Lord. My teacher is the Holy Spirit. I let God be my teacher, And I see church is like a class that can help me get closer to God when I'm getting good teaching. I used to be one of these people. I would go to church every single Sunday. I wouldn't miss a Sunday. And at a certain point in my life, I would say maybe about 5 years ago, I can't even keep up. I had this sort of season when I started to wonder about, was my relationship developing with God, or was it developing with the church? Everything I knew about God up to that point, mainly, and even though I had done some personal reading myself, most of that came from what I learned through another person. While I've always been one person to pray for myself on my own, read my Bible on my own, whether I go to church or not, I, for the most part, most of my teaching, it came from another person. And I think for many people, especially when you're first starting off your journey very young, that's kind of how you do it. But I think we have to rethink that, because you can, on your own, pray for yourself, by yourself. You can read your Bible and get wisdom and knowledge and answers and instruction and principles on your own. Church is supposed to help you strengthen your relationship with God. Church is supposed to help you get information that can empower you in multiple ways. And I believe not even just spiritual, but also other things that can be offered at a church. I always said that every church should have a school, should have a class to teach history, to teach reading, something. But that's another story for another day. But so many people get hurt and they give up on God because they have not been able to separate religion from relationship. It is very possible to have a personal relationship with God and not practice organized religion. And the reason why I think this is hard for many people is because churches talk against it. You know, you didn't fellowship, or, oh, you can't get it on your own, or you can get out there and get to go to left field if you do this. And you have some pushback, and you have a lot of negative rhetoric that is associated with you not practicing organized religion. But here's the thing, when you practice organized religion, it's about rules, it's about rituals. And if you don't follow those rules and rituals, which were created by men, this is factual, this is not something debatable. These rules and rituals were created by men, even though some would argue they were inspired by God, they were created by men. And here's the thing, I can't follow all rules and rituals because they don't apply to me in 2024. Most people who are trying to follow these rules and rituals, they're basing it on a culture of people that lived at a particular time in history. We're talking about thousands of years ago. And these people had practices, not only spiritual practices and religious practices, but they had cultural practices that are in direct conflict with what some of us would argue God would want. Like, for example, slavery. For example, a man having multiple sexual partners. And this is how some of the people lived in that particular time that is recorded in these spiritual books, Bible in particular is the one I'm talking about. So if you've got different people. You got people out here trying to recreate a life that existed thousands of years ago, where people had slaves, where women were oppressed and often raped, where they could not make any choices about their life, even though the choices were harmful to them, and they denied their humanity. You have so many other things going on, and yet people are saying, hey, be like this. No, when you read the Bible for yourself and you are connected with the Most High God, what will happen is that you will get the life lessons and the principles from the stories. Every story has a life lesson. Every story has something, some general knowledge that you can learn and apply and to your own life. And as a result of that, you can be better. You can be more empowered. You should be getting closer to God. But when you only follow ministers, you are risking being very disappointed and being lost. And I've done many episodes like this, and I said, if you take any subject, for example, if you took love, and you heard 10 different ministers teach about love, you may get 10 different messages. And I would say half of those messages would be totally different. I remember when, before I moved to Atlanta, this is over 25 years ago, I remember hearing pastors talk about Leah and Rachel and Jacob, the story of Jacob, who is the grandson of Abraham. And Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel. And so the whole story, just a general idea about the story, is Jacob fell in love with Rachel. He saw her, he fell in love, but her father would not let him marry Rachel. He had to work for this father for 7 years. And then after the 7 years, he thought he was marrying Rachel, but he ended up marrying Leah. And that is because Leah was the firstborn and she was older than Rachel. So then Jacob had to work another 7 years. What is ironic is that Jacob was tricked, but he had also been a trickster himself. So it was almost like if you get the life lesson, you know, it's what goes around, comes around, we can take that hope. But anyway, in all sorts of short, most ministers, when they talked about this story, they focus on Rachel and how beautiful she was and how Leah probably wasn't that good looking and blah, 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 blah. But years ago, and I'm going to say maybe 20 years ago, my pastor, he took an entirely different approach to that story in the Bible. He focused on Leah. And I don't know how I had missed this because I'd read this story so many times. In the King James Version, there's a scripture that says, because Leah was hated, God opened her womb. And then, I think in the NIV, it says something like, because Leah was unloved, and he basically focused on Leah at the end of Jacob's life. He wanted to be married to Leah. And in fact, it was Rachel who had taken her father's idols. And so she brought back idolatry. You know, they had things that they worshipped instead of the Most High God, and Leah was a woman who had prayed. So he took a whole different approach to that. And my life changed when I heard that message, because I connected with Leah for some reason. My whole life changed. But my point I'm trying to make, that when you listen to different ministers, you're getting different teachings. And what you have to do when you process that, you want to take the lessons and you want to apply it to your life. But if you're solely dependent on them, it could be confusing, because you can get 5 different messages from 5 different ministers. Same thing with money. You can take money. You have some people that say, because these people had multiple wives thousands of years ago, it's okay for men today to have multiple wives, multiple sexual partners, because in this country, we don't allow polygamy, but in some countries, they still allow it. So you got those different ideologies about how to approach things. And I warn you that you got to get it for yourself, because even though God is a spirit and he's above us, you can't totally knock out biology and science and nature. Some things didn't work for them, because what they did was they overrode things that are natural and they went against what is natural. It is unnatural for people to be able to have meaningful relationships with multiple people at the same time. So the whole purpose, and some people are not afraid to say it, was for sex. You know, they did this for the lust of their flesh. So you got people that, you know, if that's what they want to do it for today, it's just about sex. And I'm one of those people, I believe in living and let living. Like, if somebody, you know, I'm not going to try to convince a man not to do that. But I feel sort of insulted if somebody wanted me to participate in it and risk my life of diseases and all kinds of other problems. And every crime today, you just turn on the news, you got some kind of drama or somebody's dead, because you can't play with people's feelings. God made Adam and Eve together for a reason. A single man, a single woman. There's a reason. Anytime you bring in other people in relationships, and that is biblical, you can go back and find the life lessons and other stories, you're going to have problems. Problems are going to exist when you have. So what I'm saying is this. Some of these people are teaching things that create pain and problems and loss and turmoil and death and disease, and they're basing it on religion. What their interpretation of what I call the sacred books. So you got to be so careful about that. You got to sit down. You got to read it for yourself. So when your minister falls short, if they have a relationship, a sex relationship outside of their legal marriage, you know, it hurts, but you're not going to lose your faith in God because of that. What really disturbed me was there's some videos people recorded the moment that this woman, what was her name? Let me get her name again. Miss Beavers, the pregnant woman. They recorded her coming into the church. She came in and she basically was using profanity. They had to escort her out by force. And then you had the pastor try and explain it. He never addressed. Now, I didn't see the whole thing because the police eventually came to escort him out. But he never addressed his cheating. He never addressed having extramarital affairs. His wife was basically standing by her man saying, look, you know, I know the scripture tells us to be a certain way, but all people fall. And that's true. But what I would really be concerned about is you accepting a man having multiple partners and you're putting your life at risk of disease and just what happened also of death, being assaulted, because people are not made to be able to handle that. We are designed to want to feel special. And no one is talking about no one is teaching our men how to have discipline, to have one person, you know, I can't help them. I'm not the one to help them, but I just want to put that out there. But this is really disheartening. And this is what got me too. There were children in church that day. They were very young children. And this is what they were witnessing. They were witnessing fighting. They were witnessing just drama. There was no teaching about God. There was no teaching about Jesus. There was no lesson. The only other lesson is what you see, how ugly it gets. Maybe that was the lesson, I guess. When people have multiple sexual partners. And it's not the first time it's happened. This is biblical. This has been happening since the beginning of time. You're going to have, when you have multiple partners, you have, you know, relationships where people can't be special, you're going to always have these problems. I just want to encourage you to get to know the Most High God for yourself. You have to do that by setting aside time to talk to Him, to listen to Him, and I'm talking about quiet time. You have to ask God when you're reading the Holy Bible, you need to pray and ask God to show you the knowledge and the wisdom and the life lessons that you can get and how to apply those to your life. Everything we do should be supporting us getting closer to God. If it is not supporting us in getting closer to the Most High God, then it has no value. The relationships that we have, what we're listening to, what we're watching, and I'm not saying it has to be all spiritual stuff, because I can watch something that may be considered secular, but because my heart and mind are focused on God, when I watch it, I'm looking at it from a spiritual perspective. And I see that all the time in movies and different shows. I see the spiritual lesson in it all. But please be careful. This has happened over and over again. Like I said, in Atlanta, years ago, there was a big news story. And it wasn't the only one. It was actually two stories that kind of stood out where the pastor had HIV. And he had sexual relationships with a lot of different people. And as a result of that, he gave those people HIV. And some of those people died with AIDS. And they had charged the pastor, you know, with a crime because he knew he had it. And that was a part of a news story, too. It's not the first time you've heard of Eddie Long. There was another pastor, not in Georgia, who did the same thing, had HIV, AIDS, and was having sexual relations with multiple people in the church, and this happened. There was a very interesting article. I gotta start a new like little Twitter account or something where I post like interesting stories. But there was a story where this particular pastor was standing up in front of his congregation, and basically he was confessing that he had had past tense an affair at some point during his ministry. While he was confessing, people were saying, you know, we forgive you, we love you, that kind of thing. Do you know the man died? The shame, and we have to talk about this at some point, that how to heal from shame, how to heal from guilt. And the only way you can be free from shame and guilt is through a deep connection with God. But even after you deal with your shame and guilt, like in this particular case in Mississippi, the man should have just left ministry. That's what amazes me. Like with the Eddie Long situation, you know, Eddie Long denied that he had had these multiple relationships with boys. What I would have thought that would have really been a game changer and might have saved a lot of people and helped people is if he had just stepped down. Even let's say it wasn't true. Let's say it was all a lie, even though he did die under very suspicious circumstances. And it looked like that he did have a disease like AIDS, the way he died. And, you know, and I remember somebody had posted a picture of him in his casket, and it was just really shocking. But if he, just the controversy itself, a minister should step down for a minute. You know, just step down, because it causes so many problems for the people who depend on them. Some people just depend on ministers, and that's why I'm doing this podcast. You really have to be careful, because they are men. And because they are men, they do have the capability of falling, because we all, like the wife said, she was right. I mean, we can't deny that we all fall short of the glory of God. When we fall short, should we still maintain that position? Since we're in a position where our character has to be a certain way. I'm an educator, and every single year we go through ethics training, we have workshops, and they tell you that your ethics is not about just what you do in the classroom. It's also how you present yourself to the public outside the classroom. You can literally lose your job. Some positions, some professions, they have a higher level of accountability for ethical behavior. So I can't, if somebody in the grocery store is rude to me, I can't get into a verbal exchange, because depending on how that goes, I could end up losing my job. I can't, you know, act a certain way. Of course, I can't commit crimes and things like that. Of course, that's without saying. But you just have to remember that, you know, your minister is a man. Listen to them and treat them as if they are tutors. This is what I'm about to say. I got sidetracked. I treat my minister like a tutor. God is my teacher. I learn what I can. I'm in class. That person is giving me some extra information to help me strengthen my relationship with God or build my relationship with God. But if my pastor says something off, which he has to me, you know, just my personal opinion, I don't say he's a bad person, or I'm not going to be hurt by that necessarily to the point where I would lose my relationship with God. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Not to give up on God because your pastor or people in leadership positions in the church fall short. They're going to fall short. Some of them are going to fall a little bit harder and farther down the road than others. However, what you want to do is keep your relationship with God fresh. You want to everything. You can't, I'm telling you, I keep saying this, you can't take your next breath without Him. We can't breathe without the Holy Spirit in us and giving permission for us to breathe. We simply cannot live without God. At any time, you know, like my students, and my heart just grieves. Some of them are so depressed and they're sad, and they don't get it, and no one is teaching them this. At least when I grew up, and it may not have been the best way, I had a real fear, but I believe in God. I believe that everything I did, God could see, and he was going to hold me accountable. And so I fell short too, but I tried to conduct myself in a way where I knew that if I did certain things, that God was going to deal with me, and I didn't want to be dealt with by God in that way. And they don't have that. They don't fear anything. That's why they're weak, and they're not even, you can't say anything to them. You can't even help them. You can't even help them. I have to go in there, and I have to do what I can do, and I have to try my best. But I'm telling you, y'all, man, it is really hard. You're going to see a lot. You keep seeing young people going through things. Well, you're going to keep seeing that. If some kind of way there's not a revival among our young people. And so I do my best to try to, I'm in public schools, so I have to be careful, but I do my best to try to help them to understand that their spiritual life is more important than any other aspect of their life. It's not their intellectual life. It's not their physical life. And when you're young, I just believe you don't know that unless someone tells you that. At least I had that, even though my relationship was probably nominal and it wasn't the best, because my fear was not good. In a way, it wasn't the kind of fear that I have now. I have a reverence for God, but it's different when I was younger, because I just thought God was like, okay, anytime you do wrong, he was like, you know, gonna punish you. I saw him as the great punisher and the God of doom and wrath. Thank God I was healed from that. But again, running out of time, you got to have a relationship with God for yourself. So this minister is, you know, like I said, Ricky Scott, Pastor Ricky Scott, and Sharon Scott is his wife, East St. Peter Missionary Baptist Church. Y'all, this is happening all over the country, all over the world. And here's the thing, you have to let them go. You don't let God go, you let them go. And if you let them go and you continue to pray, continue to read your Bible, continue to find people to fellowship with. Sometimes I just fellowship on my job with other believers. And it's just a quiet sort of fellowship. And we recall the goodness of God, and we remember the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in spite of, and how his grace and mercy has ruled our lives. That's a form of fellowship. And I'm not anti-church, but I don't have the same relationship and mindset that I had about church when I was much younger, like in my late 20s and late 30s. Now that I'm almost 60, a whole different attitude. I get a lot on YouTube. And this is before COVID, because the way my schedule was, and I got a lot of things online, and I was really blessed by that. And so I have to give online, but I still fellowship, but in a different way. So just keep this in mind. Don't give up on God because men fall. We serve a perfect God. Men may be imperfect, but the one who made the sun is perfect. So stay connected to him. Hang on to his unchanging hand. Well, that's my little episode today. I don't know what I'm going to title this one. Peace and abundant blessings to you. May God continue to shower his grace and mercy and love upon you and your family always. This is Sheree Hardy, and I appreciate you tuning into Bath on the Air.